right, we're back. Episode 12. Back to doing it once a week, just until we hit the season. So, DB, how you been, bud?
Been pretty good, you know. A lot of stuff changes in your life, but you got to keep rolling with the punches and, I don't know, get going. But get going. I'm just excited to get talking about hockey. It's going to feel good. And it's been a little bit quieter, but the World Juniors are on and there's been a lot of shit going on with that. So
let's start there. I was gonna do that at the end, but let's start there. All right. The one guy I really want to mention before I mention anybody else, because I know we're gonna have a talk about the second guy. But the first one, Mason McTavish.
Yeah.
13 points in 4 games. So
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be very, very, very fun. For the Ducks.
Taken third overall in 2021 behind Powers and Beniers. Power and Beniers, Jesus Christ. Ahead of Luke Hughes and Kent Johnson. A great top five. Only two of which you're seeing at the World Junior Championships in Luke Hughes. You know, is Hughes even there?
Luke Hughes is, yes.
Luke Hughes, is he? He is, okay. I know Kent Johnson's not. I know Beniers isn't. I know Owen Power is not. So McTavish and Hughes. McTavish has been unreal, and he's looked amazing with Connor Bedard. I just them together. I mean, Bedard's got 7 points in 4 games, right? Three goals, 4 apples. But I think 2 or 3 of his assists have come on McTavish goals. He is springing McTavish ahead, and he's just looking dynamic, dude.
Yeah, I really feel – I saw this thing on Instagram today. Imagine the Ducks tank this year for first overall pick, get Bedard, change their logo back to like the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and then go with the young guns like type theme. You know how much PR the NHL would get?
Yeah, and then they move John Klingberg at the deadline for a another young stud.
Young defenseman.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and then I was thinking, I'm like, well, they got Jamie Drysdale, right? And they've got – remember,
Fuck
you saw that thing
more.
I sent – hang on. You saw that thing I sent you earlier, though. You saw who I – you know who I like. Fucking Olin Zellweger. On the smaller side, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are, oh, you're the small defenseman. Hey, you just know you're so small. 34th overall pick in 2021. Offensive defenseman. Just – He's gonna be a stud. I'm gonna say it now. I'm gonna hop on this train now. I'm gonna say him and Lane Hudson are gonna be top 4 defensemen in the NHL, and they could push to a top pairing because, you know, there's obviously a knock on smaller guys, right?
I mean, yeah, of course, because you think that they're just gonna be less durable because they're gonna get hurt and hit more, obviously.
But what happens if they're so mobile that they hardly get hit?
That's what I mean.
You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that too. I mean, I'm on the smaller side. I like to dodge hits as much as I can. I know it hurts a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. Or you got to be one of two, right? You got to either go into it and you got to give it, right? You got to be the small guy who goes in there and just fucking gives it every shift. So you're going to, you know, obviously
exactly,
that runs
yeah.
much higher risk of an injury, but, or you got to be the small shifty guy who's never going to get hit. Or rarely going to get hit. And that settles down all that uncertainty. And I really think these guys are going to be elite offensive, puck-moving guys who can put the puck on net from the blue line and generate offense. But back to what you were saying. Bedard, if he goes to fucking Anaheim, dude, I will – holy fuck. Who do you move to the wing? You move him to the
– McTavish.
You move McTavish, right? Then you still got Zegras. That's the thing. You got Zegras and Bedard on the middle. So Zegras would go to 2. Bedard is obviously 1. Wherever
yeah.
he goes. But I don't know. That would be interesting. There's a few.
Because they have Ryan Strome.
Imagine. Oh, fuck. He's a center. Holy shit, dude. And they got Henrik. It's like they have no wingers. They let Milano walk, possibly. I don't know. I haven't heard anything there. Yeah. Lou. They let Milano walk, so. I don't know. I mean, they don't have as many wingers. And prospect-wise, too, they're deep down the middle. So, dude, what if Bedard comes to Arizona? Holy
that'd
shit.
That'd be fucking crazy. Honestly, I really
– we have to go every single game. It's a season ticket,
well, no
dude.
Shit.
Fuck.
I've been talking to you about getting season tickets.
Do you see how much they cost?
I'm telling you. Dude, that's not bad. That's 41 games.
I haven't looked. We'll have to look. I've heard they're really bad.
They're like 3,500.
We'll talk off the pod.
No, 3,500. 3,500 bucks. No, for 4,500. And think about it. You're not that.
That's not bad compared to what you're gonna. That's not bad compared to what you're gonna pay for a game in, game out, unless they're playing against a shitty team. A couple other things we'll talk about World Juniors though. A couple of Finnish boys are up there. You got A2 Ratti, you got Joachim Kemmel, and I believe Emil Andre is. Yep, Emil Andre is 7 points in 4 games, 3 goals, 4 assists for him. Kemmel 3 goals, 6 assists. A2 Ratti 3 goals, 6 assists. A2 Ratti is looking kind of good.
I know. I mean, both of our boys for our teams.
Oh, dude, yeah. And they're playing together. How unreal. And
it's kind of sick. It feels good because, I mean, like you said, I feel like A2, like, he's coming in and playing 3C for the New York Islanders next year. I think that's the smart move. Let him get his feet, test the waters, and if not, then you can replace him. Because I feel like a guy like JG Pageau is a guy that's getting moved, and everyone's going to be mad about it, but I think it's the smartest way to go about it.
You got to.
Because if you signed Kadri, because as of right now, Nazem Kadri is a New York Islander. That's all we know. It's not official.
I heard this morning it's done. I've heard.
Yeah. I've been seeing it on Twitter all day. It's done.
That it's done.
That's all we're hearing. He's a New York Islander, but we just haven't seen it. So yep. I'm still optimistic, but you move a guy like JG Pageau and you're paying a guy like Kadri 7x7. At the end of his contract, the cap is going to be up, and $7 million is like the $5 million right now. So it, in the retrospect of things, you're kind of just replacing the old, and then Nazem Kadri is going to go to 3C when the Islanders find a new starting center. You know, it's just that's how it's going to kind of go. But that's what they're going to try to roll with because. I really feel like
you better hope that doesn't happen, dude. You better hope he doesn't go to 3C. If they give him 7x7, oh my god, it's gonna be worse than Pageau.
No, I'm not saying 3C now. I'm saying 3C at the end of his contract.
I know, but it's gonna be a seven. That's gonna be a tough one, though. That's gonna be a $7 million 39-year-old running your third line. Oh man, who plays a heavy?
But think about it. He's gonna have to play under A2 Ratti and Matt Barzal still.
Does he end on LTIR? Do you move him to the wing? So many questions. So many questions. You got to move him to the fucking wing. You got to move someone to the wing.
Right now you do. Right now you're in the Islanders spot. You do.
Let's get someone from. Let's get someone from the Islanders brass on here. I don't care who. Someone. Anyone. Let's get Mitch Korn on here to discuss the goaltending situation. Because is Varlamov staying?
No, I think he's going to Vegas. He's going to Vegas. He's got to go to Vegas. Send him the fuck away. Cap space is needed.
There's a few things though. One, it would be a nice move for Vegas. I like Logan Thompson. 914 in 19 games last year. Hang on. He was a 914 in 19 games last year. For a guy who's not had any NHL experience, his first 19 games, he was a 914. I'll take that. I will take that and run with it. That's my 1B. Hang on. This is where you got to hear me out. If they're going to have a good season, they need a 1A. Or someone who is the same exact skill or a little bit better than Logan Thompson who can play. They need a tandem. It can't be Thompson and Michael Hutchinson. It's got to be someone in Thompson or Thompson and, you know, a Varlamov, a James Reimer, a Kaapo Kakkonen, an Aiden Hill, whoever the fuck you want to go with, whatever goaltender's name is on the market. And there's no UFA goaltenders who are still out there. Braden Holtby's injured, so he doesn't count. He's not going to sign. You got to do something. And Vegas is going to – they're going to make a splash because it's Vegas. There's no way they fucking toss the towel in on this season. So, I mean, obviously, we didn't mention it yet, but Robin Leonard is out for this entire season with hip surgery. Laurent Brossoit, their backup, is recovering from his hip surgery. Fucking A, something with the hips in Vegas. Jeez. Goalie coach, we're going to do some whack fucking shit in practice. But another injury in Vegas is Nolan Patrick. He's going to end up on LTIR with an upper body injury. Nothing's being said beside upper body injury, which makes me think, given his history, it's a concussion
it's the end
from
of
a
his
hit
career,
that he took.
Yeah.
It's a concussion from a hit he took late in the season. And based on the limited scope around how long he's going to be out, I think they're expecting like I mean, long-term injured reserve means long-term. I think they're expecting this thing to – this is, you know, it's very serious for him. So, you know, obviously, you know, you hope he's good, but very very tough so far for Nolan Patrick. I think that there are a lot of things that should have been done differently on that front, not by him. Now, I'm not saying he should have done anything differently, but the Philadelphia Flyers, when they drafted him at 3, never should have happened, but they did, right? And when they did, they should have left him in juniors for a little longer instead of rushing to the NHL when he's not ready, right? You know, you can't – you got to be careful. And we talked about this before the pod a little bit, is these last few years you've seen teams be a little more careful with rushing prospects. They'll give him their 9 games, but they won't rush him. Could William Eklund have played in San Jose last year? Totally. He definitely could have. He could have been a 3C in San Jose or a 2C even. On an old team, he could have been some youth infused into it. But did they do it? No. I think it's wise that they didn't because, A, you know, he's not ready yet. He's not quite ready. Yeah, he looks ready, but give him that extra year. It's not going to kill anyone, you know. I think they got the slide on his ELC. I think they got that extra year. Even if they didn't, who gives a fuck? What you're doing is you're possibly making his career a little bit longer by making him physically developed to be in the NHL. Because mentally, there's physically, and there's skillfully. You need all three. You need to be skillfully ready to be in the NHL. You need to be mentally ready to be in the NHL. And your body has to be physically ready, both in terms of the grind of 82 games, the physicality of the National Hockey League, and your size and strength to be able to play at that grind with that physicality for the longevity of the NHL season.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that we're going to see a lot of guys jump to the NHL this year who haven't really in the past. Folks is another one. You know, guys who are, you know, someone you're going to see come up in the NHL this year. A few other guys would be, obviously, you know, Kent Johnson in Columbus. You know, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, William Eklund. I hope you see Alex Turcotte. I think LA hopes that too. Zach Bolduc and Jake Neighbors are guys who could possibly make that St. Louis roster. They're going to need someone to fill in for David Perron and his empty spot that he leaves. But one of the really interesting ones to me, and this could just be me, I like Brant Clark in LA. I don't think he's ready. Maybe he is. I like Brant Clark in LA, and I think a lot of people out there do too. I don't know if he's ready for the NHL. I know he might go back to juniors. He's playing in Barrie. There's no reason to rush him. But
yeah,
maybe, you know, he's someone who's going to be really nice on that blue line. But, you know, you can take your time. They're deep in prospects out there. So, and Alex Turcotte is someone that I think LA hopes comes in the lineup.
I think so, too. I mean, you don't want to obviously rush him if you don't feel like he's ready because, you know, you want to hold on to your prospects if you can. And you can use them as trade bait, but the value for them will also lower at the same time. So maybe you try him out, and if he still can't do it, you send him back down. That's how it's going to have to work right
exactly.
now. Exactly.
And he's 21 and a half. He'll be 22 in late February.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like it's time to rush him out. Like, I like to, you know, hold on to your prospects if you can, but if you feel like it's the scenario,
I agree.
You got to do it.
I think you want to see him stick around for maybe a couple games early this season because he'll be in Ontario this year. He'll be in the AHL. I think he was last year as well. But he's someone who you kind of just want to see you want to see a little bit more out of right now. Not that he's been bad, but you just want to see because there's a lot of hype around him. And rightfully so, he's a very good player. But there's just a little bit more. You want to see him reach another level before he makes the NHL, and you want to see it before he turns 22, you know? You don't, not that 22 is a cutoff or any kind of thing, but you know, you look at Quentin Byfield, who's a very different kind of player, and he has been good in his role in the NHL. And, you know, so again, different frames, you know, their bodies are different. Obviously a guy who's built like Quentin Byfield is going to be able to adjust to the National Hockey League a lot quicker. You know, he's already got that working in his favor, but I think there's a few guys around the league and we'll discuss this as we get closer because starting in September, once each podcast, we're going to do one a week every Sunday. We're going to, or every, sorry, every, fuck me, every Wednesday, we're going to release. and we're going to talk about each division. And so
we'll talk about heads up before we, this is going to tie into the prospects thing. Me and you are going down to Tucson for the Coyotes preseason game so we can go see the AHL stadium, because I don't think I've never seen it. Have you?
Tucson Convention Center? I haven't.
I think let's take the, like, you know, we'll go watch the preseason game, whoever they play there. And if we can, I know there's no Palm Springs games either. That's the thing that sucks, is both the teams won't have much. Like, Palm Springs doesn't even have a home opener till December.
Yeah, so not going to be much hockey out in this area until then. But we'll get a fair share. It's going to be a stacked latter half of the year, though, for that stuff.
Oh, I 100% agree. It's going to be fun. Especially if the Roadrunners do good. Because I know they always, compete every year for some reason.
100%. And they just named their new coach today.
Yep, my old coach. Such a great coach. Yeah, Islanders legend son. Islanders legend son. Islanders legend son. I can't say anything more.
Well, there you go, bud. Big tire pump. Didn't even give him his name. But, it's all right.
People will get it.
People will get it. People, our listeners will understand. They're smart people. A couple of more injury pieces before we move on. Nikolai Knyazov, out 6 months, Achilles injury. He missed all of last season with an undisclosed injury. Coleman skated with him a few times at some goalie things. He's Scottsdale kid. Best of luck to him in that recovery, and hopefully things go smoothly. And that's a big miss for the Sharks on the blue line, because I think he's someone who truly is one of the better prospects on that blue line. Ryan Merkley's obviously number one, and I think it's going to be a huge year for him. This is a huge one. He's going to develop into that top four power play one upside kind of guy you're expecting. This is when he gets a shot. Burnsy's gone. Vlasic, they still have him, but, he's as gone as, not going to make an analogy on the podcast. It's going to, be that offensive. But, Vlasic's gone. He's at the end of his road in the National
Hockey League. Yeah, see a Vlasic pickle.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And Sammy Blais is back off of IR. So he'll be back for the Rangers. They took him off IR this morning. And San Jose announced the rest of their coaching staff. Obviously David Quinn is head coach. As we've been talking about for the last month and a half, Ryan Warsawski was officially named assistant coach. Scott Gordon was named the other assistant coach. He won AHL Coach of the Year with the Providence Bruins in 2008. And then Thomas Speer was named their goalie coach. He spent the last few years in Stockton working with Dustin Wolf. Well, not the last few years working with Dustin Wolf, but he's been in Stockton and has worked with Dustin Wolf. So San Jose is going to get him in as their new goalie coach, as Evgeny Nabokov got promoted to director of goaltending for the organization. So nice moves there. Mike Greer and David Quinn rounding out their staff nicely. Warsawski's a name to watch. I think he'll be behind an NHL bench, whether it be in San Jose or elsewhere, very shortly. We talked about the World Junior Championships earlier, so I do want to go back because we didn't mention goaltenders. There's two that have really stood out for me. And before the tournament, I said that I didn't think the U.S. had a good goaltender. I'm not saying that I take back – I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying they didn't have the goaltending core that really stands out. You know what I mean? No NHL guys on there. No guys with NHL rights. Nobody who's been drafted in net. None of their three goalies. But Caden Mabureko, I think, 939, 133 in three games. So he's got a 133 goals against average, 939 save percentage. He's looked unreal. And Dylan Garand, what's not to love about this kid? He is going to be a very good goaltender in the National Hockey League. He's a Rangers prospect, so got to wonder what they decide to do there. But 930, 167 in two or three games. But, yeah, he's been pretty good too. So,
tire
pumps. I was going to say.
I've been saying that your take on USA getting fourth place, I was
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's true. I'm just going to say I'm going to be humble about it right now. Maybe next pod they'll get to hear me shit on you, but I want to see them actually
win. Yeah, be humble about it. Yeah. I think Canada's going to win the whole thing, but I think that I do think that Finland is going to – it's going to be It's going to be tough. Finland's going to give Canada a run for their money. I really do think so. But I could see USA finishing third now.
I feel like they can get into the championship game.
I haven't looked at how the bracket breaks down, but they may. If they can draw Sweden in round two, right? Or if they can draw Sweden, right?
Yep.
And Finland and Canada have to play before the gold medal game. And it could be U.S. in second, regardless if they deserve it or not. I think that Finland does, but I think it should be Finland, Canada for the gold. But we'll see. I haven't looked in the bracket, so I'm not too sure. But USA has impressed me. They have nobody on the leading scoreboard. It's been a joint effort from the whole lineup. And fucking Matthew Nyes with the nail gun the other day.
Yes, sir. He's just doing his role. He's doing his job. Playing for his country. That's all I got to say.
Toronto is going to have a nice prospect in that.
Oh, yeah. Plays hard. Yeah. Everyone's known that. He's playing against him. Everyone's known that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good prospect for them. Possibly their best one, depending on what the next year holds for Nick Robertson. I think this is a big year for Robertson. I think he is the most upside right now. But I think Nyes, when he was drafted, it kind of looked like, maybe he's a third line in the National Hockey League. Maybe he's a – I think now we're looking at a second line guy who can play the power play, right? Play the flank on the power play, has a wicked shot, and, wins battles, will go hard in the corner. But I think he's someone who can play on PP. He has potential to be a power play one guy and a second line forward.
100%.
In the National Hockey League. Much better than the third line forward that he was, originally projected, if even that. So he's had great last calendar year or calendar year and a half, since his draft. He's been incredible. And I think he could potentially even hop on the kill a little bit. But they've got, Nick Robertson too. That's huge for them. They got two great prospects there. Roni Hirvonen looked great so far, World Junior Championships. And there was the other one I want to talk about was Topi Niemelä on defense. I think that's a very good defensive prospect for them. So as good as the Leafs are right now, right, they're a very skilled team. They lack in defending in their zone. Austin Matthews was a great defender last year, though. Great two-way. He really stepped it up, but – you can't do it like that. You can't have one guy in your top six who can defend.
Yeah.
So, we shit on Tavares last episode, but, Tavares wasn't necessarily prevalent.
No, fuck that old fuck. Fuck that old fuck.
He wasn't prevalent in either zone, really. I think he's going to have a better year. I really do. He's 100% going to next season. But I think that, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, all those guys in the top set, Michael Bunting, they got to get better in their own zone. And Morgan Riley's got to get better at defending. He's a defenseman. He's a great offensive. He's a great fourth forward. Yeah. Great fourth forward. He plays my favorite offensive position, defenseman. But no, he's someone who needs to just improve a little bit on helping out in his own end. Regardless, he can still do everything he does offensively, but just making a little bit better decisions in his own, in the home plate area of his own D zone.
100%.
And he's someone you see get burned a lot, and he's got the speed where he really, he shouldn't. So I'm thinking that if they can work on that, and obviously he's late, he's not a rookie or anything, so it's not like it's adjustment issues to the National Hockey League. It's just something in his game that he hasn't really been worked on. And they can get a coach who works on that, whether it be Sheldon Keefe or somewhere else at the end of the year. But I think that Toronto has a bright future as well that's coming up to their team soon. And Nick Abrizzi. And hopefully Rodin Amirov, who plans to return in November. There was a brain tumor that was discovered early last calendar year or late in the calendar year previously. It was announced February 23rd of this year to the public. But it sounds like he has two rounds of treatment left for it. So the plan is for him to get skating again in November. So
heck yeah.
He's a guy who, I hope that he still can do it. Like can perform to his upside. But even if he can't, I really think he's going to be someone who makes the National Hockey League regardless. And I mean, he just seems like an all-around strong kid who's been very positive through everything going on. So similar to Ivan Miroshchenko, who I don't have an update on. I wanted to get one. I wanted to write one down and look into it before this, but it sounds like things are going positive on his front as well. So,
well, that's also a good sign. I mean, you of course obviously want these guys to get to full health and see what their potential could be, but you know, I just want them to get well and do what's best for them. And I want them to be who they could be no matter what. And that's just a person. Don't have to rush hockey back if you don't feel ready. Do what you need to do. If they can't play this year, more power to them. We'll see them the next year.
Exactly. I completely agree. You know, it's important. Health comes first in all those. And same, you know, with to a different extent, obviously, but same with Nolan Patrick and guys who are battling any kind of injury, whether it be concussions or whether it be a cancer diagnosis or, you know, a severe injury or anything, regardless of what it is, you know, health comes before on ice returns or production or whatever. But yeah, I completely agree. So that's it for the injury talk and everything. We are moving on to Ryan Johnson, 2019 31st overall pick by the Buffalo Sabres. They have until August 15th of next calendar year, 1 year from now, to sign him. 1 year.
Yeah.
He's going back to college this year. Former first round pick.
He's sick. I've seen him play live. He is a sick defenseman.
University of Minnesota, correct?
Yep.
So if Buffalo doesn't sign him, they get a 2024. They get the 31st overall pick in the second round. So it would be the 32 in the first round. So it would be the 63rd. It would be the 63rd overall pick in the draft in 2024 as compensation for a first round pick not signing. You get compensation when someone you draft in the first round does not sign. And he would be the only one to do so for quite some time, or a little bit of time. But I don't know what the plan is there. I know they've discussed moving him, and I know there's talk that Eric Portillo is also not going to sign with Buffalo. And there's concern that Devin Levi is also possibly not going to sign with Buffalo. So a lot of prospects that, you know, it's – but at the same time, I don't blame some of these guys, because you look at Buffalo's pool of prospects now, it's like, where is my spot?
Yeah.
I was
look at where they have to go if they have to go to the minors. Explain to them, but just the horror of Rochester.
The horror of Rochester. Yeah, Rochester's turned pretty fucking brutal. So from what I've heard, I wouldn't want to, you know, wish anybody to go there. But, yeah, I'll leave it at that without shredding any lines. But I mean, fuck Rochester.
And then Buffalo's not much better.
No, dude, Buffalo's not. If Buffalo didn't have the Bills, it would be an absolute mess of a city. I'm gonna be totally honest. It's Bills town, and the Sabres are great for them. People love Buffalo, the Sabres, but a lot of people who go to the Sabres games are people on the other side of the Canadian border. I'm gonna be completely honest. People who live on the other side of the border. St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, you know, right over the Hamilton, even to a lesser extent. But, you know, then there's Sabres fans. There's a lot of Sabres fans in that area. But, you know, it's not just the city of Buffalo that produces these fans. And as of late, you haven't seen the turnout that you have. And the Bills have been great. So a lot of people are rooting for them in Buffalo. And it's almost like not both teams can have people rooting for them there. You know, it's in that place. Some places you can, obviously New York City being one of them, you know, you can have people root for eight teams there. But
yeah, honestly,
Buffalo is one of those places where it seems some people, you know, once the football season ends, then people will kind of shift their attention to the Sabres. But when the football season ends in February for the Bills recently, late January, maybe early February at the latest, but when it ends in January for them and you go to look at the Sabres and the Sabres are fucking third to last in the league, there's not much to watch. So definitely a team that is on the rise, and they've built a huge prospect pool, but guys like Ryan Johnson and Devin Levi and Eric Portillo possibly all not signing is definitely a big loss. But let's look at it the other way though. Ryan Johnson is a 2019 first round pick. That's not Kevin Adams. That's a different general manager. So maybe that's something to do with it. You know, is it Botterill? Fuck, it might be Botterill. I think it is. But either way, That's not who draft, you know, the guy who I'm about to sign with isn't the one who drafted me. You know, I know that for, I'm sure that there's guys in the NHL who, when a new guy comes in, it's like, oh, fuck. I wasn't part of his plan. You know, you look at Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel. Those guys were drafted to be part of a specific plan. And then a new GM comes in and Sam Reinhart's gone and Jack Eichel's gone for whatever reasons you want to say. But it's largely because they weren't part of the new GM's plan. If the new GM had a plan revolving around Eichel, I think he would have done everything in his power to make him stay.
Yeah.
They would have let him have the surgery because Eichel said he'd be willing to stay after the surgery. You know, they would have made it work, but he wasn't part of their plans. And a new GM comes in and certain guys aren't part of the plans. So I'm interested to see a lot of these new teams when a team gets a new GM. You know, who's part of the plan and who's not.
Yeah, no, me too. I really feel like it's just like cusp teams in the league. I feel like David Poyle's going to be coming out of the league pretty soon. It's going to be very interesting to see how the new GM handles, you know, an older Nashville Predators lineup.
Yeah, and how he handles the prospects that Poyle hasn't given up on. Because if a prospect doesn't pan out, it's a lot easier to move them if you're not the guy who drafted them. Because by you moving the guy that you drafted, like, okay, let's look John Chyka, right? Yep. Not that I think Barrett Hayton is going anywhere. There's a lot lower of a chance of Barrett Hayton getting moved by John Chyka than there is by Bill Armstrong. Again, I don't think they're going to move Barrett Hayton, but they took him at what, fifth, sixth? Way higher than he was projected.
It was fifth.
Yeah, it took him at fifth. Would Bill Armstrong have done that? I don't think so. I don't think he's Bill Armstrong's type player. However,
I forgot who they missed out on.
He may fit in Bill Armstrong's. Yeah, I forgot too, and sadly I don't have.
Pull it up.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, pull it up because
I've got. What year draft is that?
I got you. It's the Hang on one second. I got my book right in front of me. Holy shit, dude. It was so long ago, he's not even considered a top prospect down here. 2018, fifth overall. Oh, no. Something tells me this isn't going to be good. Yep. I can tell you what. Akil Thomas went 51st. Rasmus Kupari went 20th.
Yeah, so...
Denisenko went 15. Holy fuck.
Kratsov went 9. Boquist 8. Hughes 7. Zadina?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that? Quinn Hughes went 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking pass out real quick from that. Holy fuck. Behind Zadina? Oh, my Lord.
You could have gotten Joel Farabee, Noah Dobson, Oliver Wahlstrom.
Wait. That's nuts. Noah Dobson, out of those three, is the one I'd most want to have. I like Farabee.
Obviously. I do, too. I like Joel
Wahlstrom and Farabee are still, to me... They got to prove a little bit more at that NHL level. They got time. They're obviously still young. They're what, 21, 22?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Barrett Hayton's going to be 22. I don't think he's bad, though. I don't like that pick. Looking back, I wish they would have taken Quinn Hughes, obviously, or somebody
else. Yeah, obviously anyone
does. Definitely Quinn Hughes. But you can't go back and change it. So looking now, I'm not mad they have Barrett Hayton on the roster. I like him. I like him as a 3C. I think he's going to be a 3C. I think maybe he might reach a 2C. But with the Coyotes' recent draft, let's look. You got Nick Schmaltz, who's already on the roster at 1C right now. He'll probably end up being a 2. Maybe you push him to a 3 or to the wing, right? You got Connor Geeky, who's going to probably be a 2C. You've got Logan Cooley, who, fuck, dude, I was hoping he pulled off that Michigan the other day. Oh, yeah. He was so fucking close.
That was close. I think that would have been probably the sickest goal. Yeah, you got to give it.
Ken Johnson, the next fucking game. The next fucking game, Ken Johnson goes, yeah, hang on. Hold up a sec. Oh, Logan Cooley, you couldn't do that? Let me finish it for you. And I will say, the one really impressive thing about Ken Johnson's, he did it with under a minute. I think he did it with under a minute to go in the first period, or under two. Either way, the ice with under 2 minutes to go in a period is dog shit.
100%.
At that level especially. So to be able to make that move, and again, he didn't grow up doing that move every day. this new generation is going to grow up and have more practice at it. But Kent Johnson didn't grow up practicing. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he was this fucking genius. I don't think that a lot of these guys necessarily practice that growing up every day. I know we didn't really on the ice.
No, it wasn't huge. Not at all.
We knew we weren't good enough to do it. But now you get some guys who know that the top 1% of NHL prospects and players know I'm good enough to not maybe top 1% of stick handlers in the whether prospects from the NHL. No,
yeah,
I'm good enough to pull it off, and they will. And I think it's awesome that they do. And I don't think it's ever going to reach a point where it's happening 30 times plus a season, because I think people defend it and they're going to learn how to defend it, but it's still going to happen because look at some of the goals. It's still the one hand fucking puck still happens. You would think that by now it wouldn't be able to, but some of these guys are so skilled that still happens. It's the same thing with you see it in all different aspects though. Some playmakers, right? You know, the certain systems still happening. Being able to use the slingshot on the power play still happens, still works. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So you see these, and when you perfect something or nearly perfect it, no matter how hard someone tries to defend, if you're able to perfect it, they can't really defend it. So systematically, I'm talking physically, same thing with certain power forwards or certain, you know, you would think that you'd be able to slow down Evander Kane in the offensive zone by exploiting weaknesses, but he's so strong and big where he can outmuscle you. So it's awesome to see that, you know, I think we had this discussion earlier, and I think that it's important to have different roles of players in the game. And I think that it's so important to have these skill guys up top. And it's important to have guys like, you know, Nazem Kadri and Evander Kane, who play that net front and drive the puck to the net, because you got to have someone to bring it to the net, right?
Whether they finish or not. You got to have someone either throw it off a pad, throw a pass up high, shoot the puck, you know. They got to be able to do it. And that's the guys in the league that can.
Yep. And so you get those, and then they make that opportunity for Kent Johnson to do the Michigan. They drive that opportunity. They get the puck down low and Johnson finishes, or they finish. They can very well finish too. Or you get Matthew Tkachuk, who brings it all the way in, who brings it down because he's got the body to bring it down, and then fucking puts it between his legs and buries it because he's a power forward who can also, who has some of the best hands in the league. It's wild to me with the stuff that guy can do. I mean, I completely forgot about that. He's had those multiple goals like that between the legs. So
yeah.
South Beach is going to be thrilled.
I'm excited just for the season to start, dude. I know we've been saying it like for the past three episodes, but when the season starts, it's going to get better. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like right now it's like, you feel like, what have we got to talk about? But when the season gets going, you'll have everything to talk about. It's going to be nice.
It's going to be so sick. I'm so hyped. I'm thinking, I mean, I know we're only about 30-ish minutes. So I'm thinking a couple signings, some news, and maybe a little bit of talking, and then wrap it up.
Yeah, that works. You
know, I don't think that there's too much, but a couple PTOs. As we near the season, we're going to see more and more of these. Josh Brook signed an AHL contract with the Calgary Wranglers. And he's got an AHL. So he's got that AHL contract, and he's got a PTO with the Calgary Flames. Cole Schneider, who played last season in Milwaukee with Nashville, he's got a PTO with the Predators, or he played in Milwaukee with Nashville's AHL affiliate. He is a PTO with the Predators this season. Dylan Ferguson, the goaltender from Vegas, has a PTO with Toronto. Dmitry Osipov has a PTO with Anaheim. He spent the last few years in the AHL with Rockford. And Derek Stepan, it was announced this morning, has a PTO with Carolina. I think out of those guys, I think Derek Stepan is the only one who gets a contract. Maybe Josh Brook gets a two-way, but I think the other guys will be AHL contracts this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Dylan Ferguson might get a two-way and replace that Ian Scott role that's left open from his retirement. Some KHL and overseas signings. Cedric Paquette heading to the KHL. Colton Sevior to Switzerland. And Johan Larsson to Sweden. So, couple bottom six guys who have been around the league for a while now. You know, they've been third, fourth line centers and wingers, and they've been consistent in playing in the National Hockey League. So best luck to them as they start their new careers overseas or, you know, for some of them back home. Johan Larsson's from Sweden, so, you know, best of luck. But NHL signings, Riley Sheahan, 1 year, $950K with the Buffalo Sabres. Jake Walman, 1 year, $1.05 million with Detroit. Kevin Korchinski signed his ELC with Chicago, 3 years, $950K per year. Caleb Jones with Chicago, 1 year, $1.35 million. Philip Kurashev, 1 year, $750K with Chicago. Jake Lecision, 3 years, $767K with Vegas. Paul Cotter, 3 years, $775K with Vegas. Jackson Cates, 1 year, $775K with Philly. Jake Lecision is an interesting one. He'll be in the AHL for a while. He'll be a call-up guy, but he was analytically the worst forward in the National Hockey League last year. He provided his I shit you not, dude. 0% wins above replacement on Jay Fresh's cards, and analytically, very bottom. Someone who's going to fill in when Vegas inevitably goes through LTIR all year. So,
yeah,
you know, he'll fill in there. But that is in the NHL. So, Kurashev, I like it for Chicago. 750K, I mean, I would have given him a million. You know, I would have. He's playing in the National Hockey League this year. So, in the Chicago, it's not like they're hurt for money. They're not struggling, yeah, to, you know, they're not struggling to stay under the cap. So, that was an interesting one. And Korchinski, we've talked about him a lot. I like him. I like. I'm glad he's getting his ELC. I'm sure he'll go back to the Dub this year.
He'll play his nine and go back. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but in his nine, there's a lot to look for. You know, look for someone who can drive offense. Seth Jones is a very good, again, offensive-minded defenseman. You're going to see Korchinski have more of a defensive upside than Jones. Drive play a lot better. So I think that it's going to be really, really nice to have Korchinski back there. And was seven high for some people? Yeah. Did I think so? Not really. I like seven for him. I like that high pick. But, you know, we'll see how he does. DB, anything, any team you want to talk about? Any news you want to cover for the next couple minutes?
Not really. I don't have much. Like I said, I don't really feel like there was much to talk about this week besides the World Juniors.
I know. I couldn't imagine if we did two this week. That would have been fucking brutal. Would have been scraping to get to to 30 minutes.
But I know.
I mean, you know, it's World Juniors are finishing up, so we'll talk about the semifinals and championships next time we're on. I'm sure we'll have some news. I don't know if there's going to be a trade or not, but, you know, a goaltender to Vegas is a possibility. Tarasenko's trade request in St. Louis is still out there.
That is very true.
You know, I mean, I don't know who else is really looking at making moves, but Colorado, Paul Stastny, I like that fit if they bring him in. Or, you know, they'll need another center. I think Newhook's a couple years away from being a 2C. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's ready, but I don't know. I'm really excited to do, you know, next month's divisional, you know, like looking into the divisions, given our predictions. I think we'll do a hot take per team. So I think there's going to be, you know, next month we're going to see a lot longer episodes. I mean, this month it's shorter episodes, just less to talk about. Next month it's going to be structured. You know, we're going to go in depth on each of these teams in the divisions. So we'll talk prospects. We'll talk, you know, how they'll look during the season, give some predictions, and do probably a hot take for each team and a breakout player to watch. And someone will think might, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm very excited to, you know, work on that, because that's going to definitely be a nice project for us and get us primed for the upcoming season.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. Honestly, I think September's going to be our make or break month. I feel like we could get very prevalent very fast if we do it right. And I just, you know, want to stay on float and keep doing us. We got our short fan base right now, but hopefully we can start growing next month. That's when I want to start growing out, exactly. I guess.
When the season comes, really definitely going to, it's going to get real fun real quick. I mean, I love, you know, the off season is very fun for the first month and a half, 2 months, you know, from like
now
June
in
July,
the,
and then you
now
enter
we're in
August.
The drought years.
Yeah, you enter August and it's the fucking dog days. It's awful. Oh, there's nothing. You know, I mean, it's great for, I'm sure the players love, you know, having, this is their time off, this is their month, really. You know, the last couple months, you're kind of glued to your phone. You don't know if you're going to be on the team. You don't know if you're going to get moved. You don't know what's happening, who your new line mates will be, who your new coach is going to be. There's so much uncertainty. And this month, you kind of just coast through. And September comes, training camp comes, and October brings the season. I think this week we're going to get some news on NHL 23. I'm fucking excited. I hope some new stuff comes.
I know. I feel like hopefully we get GM connected back this year. Yeah, I know right now I'm stuck on Madden right now. I'm honestly, when we get off this, we're going to play some Chell, and then I think I'm just going to chill on Madden for a little bit, get my ultimate team up, get the grind up, you know, got to do what I got to do.
I know. I'm going to rip you in Chell real quick.
Yeah, no, you're not ripping shit.
Yeah, and then we'll post this in the morning. So when you guys hear this, it's going to be Wednesday when this comes out. And next couple Wednesdays, we'll have a pod. And, I'm excited. I think this is going to hopefully be our most boring one.
I hope so. I really hope so. We got to start talking about some stories, dude. Because,
I don't give a fuck, dude. Yeah, stories, movies, fucking who cares? Whatever we do during the week NHL, our franchises. I got a sick Coyotes franchise I'm running. I got Korchinski. Of fucking course I do.
Dude, you got like all the sleeper. Cool. You got all the sleeper picks.
I just ran fucking first round picks that first year because the draft is fresh on my mind. So I'm working on a roster. I'm getting all the prospects potentials taken care of. So I think we're going to release an official Rinkside Podcast roster for Chell 23. It's going to have all of the prospects who are in the NCAA included. The prominent ones, Matthew Nyes, Brock Faber, guys like that. Obviously many more than just that. KHL prospects who aren't in the game yet, and updated overalls to accurately reflect how we feel, you know, as a podcast. And we're going to work that out, you know, come to an agreement. If I think someone's like a 79 and DB thinks they're an 82, we'll settle for like an 80 or an 81, you know? So
yeah,
I'm excited. I think that's going to be fun. We'll do it under the, we'll announce it as it gets closer, but that's something I'm working on. So we're working on, but I'm going through and getting the spreadsheet started. So.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. We're going to have a lot of shit to do in the next month, but right now it's pretty boring. But get your ass on Chell. Peace out.